Judge Stephen O'Neill to make whether Cosby is a violent sexual predator. Judge O'Neill's decision will take into account not only the crime, but on the other side, Cosby's legacy and community work as well.
Fox's Gernal Scott in Norristown, Pennsylvania. The prosecutor asking the judge to give the comedian 5 to 10 years in prison. The defense suggesting something similar to house arrest. Fox News. We report. You decide.
We're wow. We're for streaming, surfing, and gaming. We're for bringing you internet, TV, and phone. For browsing, watching, and chatting. We're for endless entertainment and wonderful Wi-Fi. We're for more browsing and less buffering. For more working and less waiting. All with a helping hand and a high five to top it all off. We're for bringing you internet, TV, and phone. We're wow, and we're for all. Visit wowway.com to learn more.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Cole. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
He raised me, two dogs, and most of the neighborhood. Dad's my hero. So when it was my turn to care for him, I was thankful Kindred was there to help.
If you have questions about home health, hospice, or care after a hospital stay, call 1-866-KINDRED, and a registered nurse can walk you through care options and locations that best fit your needs. Kindred Services can provide you with nursing visits, medication management, and more, all in the comfort of home. See how Kindred can help. Call 1-866-KINDRED.
It's the 65th Annual Alabama National Fair, September 28th through October 8th at Garrett Coliseum. Join News Talk 93.1 and Blue Water Broadcasting at the fair. Win tickets. Come see us on the Midway in our booth. Meet the on-air personalities and play our free games. Get free admission to the fair Wednesday, October 3rd from 3 until 6 p.m. on Blue Water Broadcasting Day. Plus over 60 thrilling rides on the mile-long Midway. We'll see you on the Midway at the Alabama National Fair. Where News Talk 93.1.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The risk for those showers and thunderstorms will continue even into the nighttime hours tonight. The overnight low temperature drops to about 73. Then tomorrow and Wednesday, still a generous supply of those random showers and storms, especially in the afternoon and evening hours. About 50-50 coverage tomorrow and Wednesday with high temperatures in the upper 80s. And then the storms become scattered to numerous by Thursday and still scattered around the area on Friday. High temperatures staying most days below 90. Download our free weather app. It's got everything. Plus, you'll have instant access to all my blog and video updates, along with push notifications for severe weather alerts and the latest from the tropics. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark. I woke up before the sun rose this morning. What did you do today?
Oh, is this Slash?
This is Slash. And I woke up listening to Slash. It just pumped me up. This is off of his new album.
Yeah.
The song here is called Serve You Right. So good. Yeah, you heard that right. Lay down your habit, honey. Love knows. I'll serve you right. But you know redemption comes tonight. Yeah, Slash. But you know I'll be the first to try. Miles Kennedy singing. That's who it is. Whole album's great. Oh, and it's a good way to start a Monday. Because there was a lot that happened over the weekend. As we were just talking about off air, it's like, we thought it was going to, the Christine Blasey Ford will have the thing set on Thursday. Well, wait, no! A pharaoh has another story. And Michael Avenatti.
Not one, not two, not three, four.
Yeah. Good Lord. So I was like, I guess that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. It's like, nah, it's not what I'm going to talk about. Not at all. I'm going to listen to Slash. I'm going to work out hard in the morning. I'm going to listen to some more Slash. I'm going to listen to a stupid podcast about a Monday Night Nitro from the year 2000. Where, if folks haven't heard it, I'll recommend it. And by the way, you're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. Follow me. Subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcast. If you feel like it, give it a review. Whether you like it or hate it, give it a review. But also on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, free plug to these guys, a podcast called 83 Weeks with Conrad Thompson. He's out of Huntsville. And Eric Bischoff. And it's a great episode where it's a watch-along. I did not watch along. But they pull up old Monday Night Nitro. It's after Bischoff has left. And Vince Russo, bro, is running the scenes. And every match, like all four or five, is a gimmick match. Where it's like, okay, looks like they're fighting in a steel cage this match. Okay, now it's a no DQ kendo stick match. Now it's like a six tag team battle royal to like for and no justification. It's just like crazy stuff happening until Vince Russo, the guy who's writing all of the wrestling show, ends up winning the heavyweight title himself. And it's just like, this is the worst thing ever put out on television.
That's like the whole purpose of that was to win the heavyweight title.
Yeah. Yeah, and wrestling can always teeters on how bad can it get. But, ooh, that particular show got really bad. So that's what I've been doing today. And then I found, speaking of how bad it can get, because the news can be very frustrating. Very frustrating. And it's not as frustrating for me these days because I'm not really on either team. But it does get frustrating. Like, this is what we're going to talk about day in, day out. And there was a great piece on fee.org about some old Stoic wisdom from one guy, Epictetus to Seneca, Marcus Aurelius. And just to distill it down without having to quote all these big names, it was two lessons the Stoics taught on how to manage your anxiety and fear about the world. And this article kind of says, hey, I get that the news can be frustrating and we're constantly getting barraged with bad news, more so than ever before because it's so easy to communicate. So let's take these two lessons from the ancient Stoics. The first one is visualizing. Like, ask yourself, what is the worst possible scenario? And actually visualize it. And what happens is if you actually do the work of visualizing the worst case scenario, is usually the worst case scenario won't happen. And the whole idea is because you've already gone through that exercise of how bad could it get, when something bad happens, you're like, yeah, it's pretty bad, but it could be a lot worse. And you've also prepared yourself to take on the bad thing. Like, you're, you know, readying yourself. And then the other one's kind of found in the Serenity Prayer. But Epictetus talks about this too. Just having the knowledge to know what you can control and what you can't control. What you have ultimate control over, what you have a little bit control over, what you have absolutely no control over. I think that's all wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to practice it myself.
The wisdom to know the difference.
Yes. Because I hear some people talk and it's like, how are we going to change the world? How are we going to save everybody? I don't know. Like, there's a big problem in our society. We got to solve it. Like, well, number one, I often hear that angst. And I've done it myself. It's like, what exactly is the problem? Things could be a lot worse. But they're also pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get that there are bad things, especially in the modern era, where, and I've tried to change those habits myself. Like, everything comes with a trade-off, good or bad. Like, with social media or, like, mass production of certain types of foods, you probably, it's not going to be the greatest thing for you. But, you know, I don't really have to work that hard, and I make a pretty good living. And I work long hours, but I can't imagine, say, literally 200 years ago, this job does not exist.
Yeah.
So, would I be a town crier or something?
No.
No, you don't think I would be a town crier?
No, I think, let's see. There's a television show on Starz, Penny Dreadful. It's a TV show now, but it's a Penny Dreadful is a horror novel that you sold for a penny or a novelette.
Yeah.
What have you. You'd be a writer.
A Penny Dreadful writer?
Perhaps Penny Dreadful or those like nickel westerns.
Yeah, like some Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could probably pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like somebody's cuckolded you.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Like the story of a man driven crazy by his suspicions. It turns out his suspicions have gotten the best of him. Nothing's actually happening. And so because he reacts to this, he accuses his wife of doing something, then he actually makes it come true. It's a terrible story. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
From the author of Twilight.
I never read those books.
Mm-mm.
It's too much to me.
Yeah.
Like, I had enough vampire crap when we watched True Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom read those books. I tried to read them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Just not good?
They were so garbage.
I mean, my impression of them, because I did go see one of the movies. It was one of those afternoons where I'm hanging out with all the women, my mom and aunt. And
oh, I was talking about True Blood, the True Blood books.
Oh, the True Blood books?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't read the Twilight books.
I haven't read those books. I did see that first movie. At least True Blood kind of gives it to you. I'd imagine the books are kind of like weird erotica, too, mixed in with the violence.
The show is so much better than the books.
Okay, that's good.
The books are like, they're just so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to describe it without being super rude. Suffice it to say, HBO did a wonderful job translating them into the mainstream.
Oh, before we at the new house, we had cable. Andrew had the third season on DVD, so we watched some. And I was actually hooked.
It's a good show.
It's pulpy, kind of silly, over the top sex violence.
Sookie.
Like, all the vampires going crazy over this one girl. It turns out to be a fairy or something. Like, yeah, that's why she can read minds. Yeah, it's just weird.
Her brother turns into a werepanther. It's just absurd.
It's just, yeah, you're right. It is crazy. It's downright crazy. And it's like, how many hours of my life have I wasted watching that crap? But the Twilight movies, my impression was the complete opposite of True Blood. Where in True Blood, you're like right in the thick of it. Like, people getting killed, blood everywhere, people are having sex. It's nuts. It's an HBO production.
Suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight?
All foreplay.
Angst.
All foreplay without any payoff. Well, it is blue.
And if that's
blue,
if
the balls on these people.
If there's one thing you're looking for in a vampire love story, it's payoff.
Yeah. It's like, at least bite her. Turn her.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway.
I think that ends up happening, by the way.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It's like, that's hour 45 of foreplay. That's a lot. We're not talking about text messages throughout the day.
Yeah, this...
We're like sitting in a theater quietly. Like, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just... let's continue to go see movies together. Because I don't ever want to become that, 50-year-old guy who goes to see the latest movie by himself. And I'm not talking, a Sunday early when nobody's in the theater and you have it to yourself. I've done that.
Yeah.
But, it's the premiere night or premiere weekend, mm-hmm. and you're just sitting there, and it's, a bunch of 20-somethings and teens, and you're the 150-year-old, up there going, well, I want to see what the latest thing is. I'm not being creepy. I don't want to be that guy. But it has become incredibly pervasive. I was actually... I ruffled some feathers, I think, when I started this show, where I wanted to talk openly about sex. And I'm not talking about, Dr. Ruth or whatever. I'm not trying to give advice on how to spice up your sex life, but I just talked about why people think it's so funny. It's the source of a lot of jokes. And awkwardness.
Yeah.
And I thought I did a pretty damn good show about that. But some people reacted. They just heard the word and were like, oh my goodness, Joey, you can't talk about these things. And I've been struggling with that because the news over the last several months has been nothing but explicit sex and allegations. And it's like the Avenatti allegations. Like, how on FCC airwaves am I going to talk about this? CNN doing an interview with Stormy Daniels about an excerpt from her book about what Trump's, master John Goodfellow looks like. Apparently Toad from Mario Kart.
That's what she went with?
Yeah. She said it looked like a mushroom.
It's like all of them.
Right, exactly.
Some of them have hoods.
Right. And it's just like, this is seriously the news.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been struggling with. I would love to cover this, but I can't go into, I can go into detail, but
right.
I have the words, but should I use them?
Right.
Oh my goodness. So that
hard to translate.
Brings me to one story I was telling you about before we went on. About I thought these were only going on in Europe, but brothels where you don't go have intercourse with actual women, but sex robots.
Specifically sex robots. Like, there's not going to be a Roomba. There may be a Roomba there, but its purpose is to clean the rooms.
I actually saw a fantastic comedy video from a group called We the Internet. That one of those guys, Lou Perez, at that conference I went to. We need to get Lou on the show. And it's him, Lou, pretending to be an anchor, talking about how automation and artificial intelligence is displacing people in their jobs. And he's like, now we're talking to a big rig driver, Chuck. He's like, yeah, the robots are stealing my jobs and they stole my wife. I'm not real worried about the Tesla automated, semis. I'm worried about the sex robots. I mean, I can't please my wife that way. I'm working 18 hours a day. And then I come home and I got her one. I got her a Roomba. And now she's married to him. But there's this brothel apparently already being opened up in Texas. And let's see. Because life can always get stranger, writes Nick Gillespie of Reason.com. Here's a relatively feel-good story for a week that promises to be a crap show on steroids. He didn't say crap. A short drive of North Toronto, $60 buys a half hour alone with a life-size doll that's, quote, warm and ready to play. Ew. Customers take rented sex robots to a private room in a warehouse near an emissions testing center before returning them for cleaning. And they're now looking to move from Canada to 10 locations in the U.S. by 2020. How? Because there's no regulation. The guy, Yuval let's just leave it, Gavriel. Yuval Gavriel says the States is a bigger market and a healthier market, and God bless Trump. And so they're looking to move it into Houston. But anti-prostitution activists in Houston aren't having it.
They're anti-prostitution activists?
Yes, it is a group called Elijah Rising. It's a Houston-based nonprofit group with the goal of, quote, ending sex trafficking through prayer, awareness, intervention, and restoration.
Perhaps calling themselves anti-sex traffic activists would be better? Because yeah. Anti-prostitution activists just sounds like too...
Right, it's too Puritan.
Yeah.
It's too puritanical, too prohibitionist.
Anti-sex trafficking? Let's do that. I'm game. Well, let's stop sex trafficking. Well, prostitution?
Well, it's an interesting thing I've learned is there are sex workers who work in some places where it's legal, where they have said, I get added, working legally as like a full-grown person, I get added to statistics in sex trafficking. When you're comparing me to, say, some kid who's been kidnapped and sold into sex slavery, I'm a full-grown adult and I'm doing this voluntarily and I enjoy what I do. Right. I make a lot of money doing it. And don't compare me to a kid who's being forced to do this against their will.
Right.
And I think that's a dirty game that gets played where if to push the cause, they'll balloon statistics by including people that are, you know, full-grown doing it on their own.
Yeah.
Compared to, and it's all under the umbrella of sex trafficking. And they're apparently saying, this is an actual petition on change.org from this group, Elijah Rising.
That sounds like, I'm sorry, Joey, that sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah, Elijah Rising?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit, well, do you remember?
Like you could get an Elijah Rising for $40 on Court Street or something.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Sorry, it's just, it sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah, it does. Well, because, I mean, perverts, man, they've just ruined the language.
All language.
Yeah. But do you remember, and just to make a point, how activists can be tone deaf to comedy? We're Catholic. It's high school, I think, maybe 10th grade. I can't remember the exact year. It all blurs together. It was so long ago.
Okay.
But Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD, came in to give a presentation.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty, like, anybody who's lost their child to drunk driving, and it's a mom, like, very passionate and crying even. It's like, okay, I'm listening. But then they completely ruin the effect of their presentation by handing out koozies.
Yeah.
And the koozie said, I believe no beer in here. To which every kid in that assembly with a brain went, well, I'm going to put a beer in there.
Yeah.
So when you name your group Elijah Rising, it's kind of the same effect. Now we're thinking of, like, does that go for 40 or 60? Or?
What would that even be?
Yeah, what would that even be?
I remember as either 7th or 8th grade, you almost got suspended.
I did?
I think it was you were in the group. It was like a group presentation for like a math class, and you named everything Johnson.
No, I wasn't in the group, but I remember this, where it was a math project, where it was a group project, and you had to create a product using, you know, geometry, and present it like it was a, you're a telemarketing firm. And so they made a perfect, like, a cube, and had one of our buddies, Aaron, stick his head up in it to where it's like his head in this box. It's like, introducing a brand new computing machine, the Johnson. It's like, turn Johnson on. And we all thought it was hilarious. I don't think the teacher understood it.
Right.
And then more people started to laugh, and she's like, something's afoot here. What are these kids doing? And sometimes, like, the tone deafness is like, oh, wow. You need to keep up with times. Anyway, I got to get to the name of this petition, Elijah Rising, this anti-prostitution group, has put on change.org. The name of their petition, Keep Robot Brothels Out of Houston. It's pretty straightforward. Their petition has 5,900 signers, and they're pushing for 7,500 people.
What happens when they get to 7,500?
I don't know.
Do they get a cookie?
Yeah, maybe it's like one of those, like in school where we'd sell poinsettias or like cookies or the coupon booklets and you get like a free jump rope. Maybe they'll get jump ropes for everybody.
Like, I think, to wrangle sex traffickers?
Yeah, or do some double unders. Just get out all that extra energy.
Yeah.
Anyway, they say that robot brothels will just create an expansion of the already dehumanized act of sex buying. Sex robots sexually objectify women and children. There are also going to be male sex robots, ladies and gentlemen. I love how that's always left out of the prostitution conversation.
Yeah.
No such thing as a gigolo. But Nick Gillespie of Reason.com writes, there's no reason to believe that increased access to pornography increases sexual crime, a belief that underpins Elijah Rising's position vis-a-vis sex dolls and sex robots. In fact, there's a wealth of evidence supporting the idea that the proliferation of porn over the last few decades is one of the reasons that sexual assaults are declining. He adds some links here. And there are many reasons to believe that recent crackdowns on prostitution done in the name of ending, quote-unquote, sex trafficking are having the negative effect of pushing more women onto the street in less safe environments for everybody involved. Prohibition, whether booze, drugs, or sex, tends to do all that, which I think Mr. Gillespie has a good point.
Yeah.
That it leads to unregulated markets, desperate people get pushed into, other people get literally into bondage. They are like sex slavery. It's terrible. And I don't know, you would think it's the prohibitionist mindset, like even stuff I don't like the most I want to prohibit is like murder. Like you can't steal from folks, you can't kill anybody, don't go around beating people up. Like yeah. I want to prohibit that. But like vaping, like vape pens, electronic, e-cigarettes, whatever. People that for years have run anti-smoking campaigns, like cigarettes, other forms of tobacco, you would think that this new product that's much safer, might not be the safest thing in the world, but everything has some risk to it.
Yeah.
They are against people doing e-cigarettes. Even though it's an improvement on, say, smoking actual cigarettes. It's all or nothing. You don't have to do it at all.
Yeah.
It's just that mentality that drives me nuts.
Yeah. I think with the prostitution thing, you said something like, why don't people think? Well, if you're against prostitution, full stop. You don't really think beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean, if this gentleman, what was his name?
The guy who was running the brothels?
Yeah.
Yuval Gavriel.
This guy, Mr. Gavriel, is bringing in his sex robots. That's trafficking, sir. That's sex trafficking. That's robo-sex trafficking. But from the perspective of the anti-prostitution people, I can see how they would be like, whoa, I got to be consistent here, okay? No sex trafficking, period, human or otherwise.
But it gets to the root of it, where I think Mencken said that Puritanism is the fear that somehow somebody is having a good time. And that's the actual point. I think you can make an argument, even if I believe in legalizing prostitution. If you say we should not legalize it, it should continue to be illegal, I can still understand the point that it's degrading in a way that it, you know, can ruin people's dignity, their sense of what sex should be. I went to Catholic school. I know all the arguments. Yeah. And I think they're damn good arguments, but I think that should be a personal choice is where I come down on it. But once you start like saying, oh, you're not exploiting a certain person by paying them, you're now exploiting a thing that doesn't even have consciousness. Stop doing that to yourself. It's like, where do you get the gall, you and 7,500 people, hopefully for you guys, to tell me what I can do with, you know, my own Master John Goodfellow?
Look, if no one's going to provide these sex robots, people are going to be having sex with Roombas. We talked about it earlier.
Right.
Do you
happen.
Want that?
I don't want that.
I don't want that either.
I don't want it at all.
No.
Right.
sex with Roombas.
Yeah, I've run into a Roomba. They don't even work that well.
You tripped and fell in and out of a Roomba repeatedly?
Not repeatedly. Tripped once, and it made the dog angry. And
you know, actually, I don't think I've ever actually seen a Roomba.
They don't. In my experience, they don't work that well. They keep getting hung up on the furniture.
Oh, okay.
They malfunction, just stay in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, button heads against the corner. I'm not a big fan of the Roomba.
Roombas should be neither seen nor heard.
Right, and once we start getting to, somebody made a comment that, man, robots in our not too far away, like Blade Runner future, are going to look back and go, what you people did to us. And there's going to be hell to pay. And there might very well be hell to pay. But it's just bizarre.
If only you had listened to those anti-prostitution people when the sex robots were on their way to Houston.
All right. If only. It's just bizarre, man. It's a weird world. Like, I don't, in all seriousness, have any desire to go to a sex robot brothel.
And from what your description of it was, it sounded like a warehouse.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in warehouses.
I guess there's some weird people. And that's self-selection. Should we be encouraging that? If you're going to be going to a place like that, I mean, you're probably not getting any other place. It's self-selection.
Yeah.
You know, let them jump out of the gene pool.
This is just really in poor taste, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Okay.
I could see a SCOTUS nominee half a century down the line.
Half a century away. Talking about Kavanaugh.
No. But half a century down the line when they're bringing up, saying, sexual past. Because of accusations. Would this nominee clarify, do sex robots count? Because in that case, yes, every day.
What did you think I was doing in my ivory tower?
Yeah.
I had a lot of books to read. I needed to let off some steam.
I didn't touch any women for a long time.
Movies weren't doing it for me. I know they're a classic at this point, but True Blood was a little too far for me. I needed my own reality.
I've got 50 Shades of Grey on Blu-ray and not in augmented reality. That's how much I enjoy it. I'm a purist, okay? But it does bring up an interesting point. Like, if you're going to... I mean, I'm sure this is just an odd judgment since we're talking about people that would actively seek out recreation with sex robots. I said recreation. A good time with sex robots.
Sure.
It's not like... You know, I wonder what the overlap is between that and people who would beat women or actively sex traffic.
Right, okay. No, I see your point.
Like, if someone...
To Elijah Rising's point that this will lead to more dehumanization, what is the actual fact behind that?
Well, if someone really wants to go get some, and they have the option to go, whether it be a legal human brothel where... People want to be there like at a bunny ranch or something.
Yeah, somewhere in Nevada.
Or they want to go to a sex robot brothel. God, that's absurd.
It is absurd. It's weird talking about it.
Yeah. But if they can go and do that and do it, they pay for the service, they enjoy the service, all of a sudden they're not going out and capturing and abusing someone, isn't that a good thing?
Well, the same argument is like, isn't it better for me to do the vape instead of the cigarette? No, it's the same thing.
Don't do it at all. Yeah.
And the cold turkey approach usually doesn't work. And I don't know. I haven't looked into this. I'm not a researcher on, like, sexual assault and...
Trafficking.
Yeah, and then people's weird proclivities and perversions.
Yeah.
It's a story that jumped out to me, and my libertarian in me went, why are you trying to ban that?
Yeah.
It seems like a waste of your time. Anyway, folks, you're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. We're going out with another track off the new Slash album, Read Between the Lines. Another offering, another open door. Another effort you ignore. Yeah.
smartphone and online. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
AutoSave Tire and Automotive is your local trusted source for tires and auto repair in the River Region. We do it all, from oil changes to engine transmission repair, even those pesky check engine lights. We also handle over 80 brands of tires, all at the best prices. We have stores located in Prattville, Montgomery, and Wetumpka for your convenience. We can also handle your fleet business, accepting Donlin, ARI, Element, WEX, and more. We also accept your Bridgestone, Firestone, and CarCare One credit cards. Check out our website, autosavetires.net. AutoSave Tire and Automotive, come to where your auto saves you.
Presenting the all-new 3-Row 2019 Subaru Ascent. It's the biggest SUV we've ever made. With room for up to 8, choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating, plus standard symmetrical all-wheel drive with up to 27 miles per gallon. The 2019 Subaru Ascent, love is now bigger than ever. Come test drive the all-new 2019 Subaru Ascent at Montgomery Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2019 Subaru Ascent and Ascent premium models with standard equipment. Actual mileage may vary. Montgomery
Subaru. Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, I'm Blake Shelton.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson.
The Voice is back with me, Jennifer Hudson, Adam Levine.
And the reigning champ, moi.
No chance Kelly's going to win again. I'm calling it right now. I'm winning this season.
I'm not going to sit here and talk about the fact that I've won The Voice 6 times.
Not last year when I arrived. I won. Say my name, Blake.
Queen Kelly. Be there when I reclaim the title that's rightfully mine.
Watch Team Kelly on The Voice on NBC.
The Blind Auditions begin tonight on NBC.
Harry Connick Jr. is coming to the Montgomery Performing Arts Center and News Talk 93.1 wants you to win tickets before you can buy them.
You can hear me in harmony.
Tune in to the News Talk Morning Show with Greg, Jay, Emily, and Rich all week long to win one pair of tickets per day to see Harry Connick Jr. at the MPAC on December 13th.
Take it to the Mardi Gras.
Tickets to Harry Connick Jr. at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, December 13th. From News Talk 93.1.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The risk for those showers and thunderstorms will continue even into the nighttime hours tonight. The overnight low temperature drops to about 73. Then tomorrow and Wednesday, still a generous supply of those random showers and storms, especially in the afternoon and evening hours. About 50-50 coverage tomorrow and Wednesday with high temperatures in the upper 80s. And then the storms become scattered to numerous by Thursday and still scattered around the area on Friday. High temperatures staying most days below 90. Download our free weather app. It's got everything. Plus, you'll have instant access to all my blog and video updates, along with push notifications for severe weather alerts and the latest from the tropics. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River Region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
Hi, I'm Rick Peters, managing partner at Blue Water Broadcasting. We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
Hi, folks. This is Rick Clark with Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I'd like to take just a minute to talk to you about our experience with Blue Water Broadcasting. One of the hot topics in our staff meetings is spending advertising dollars. If your company or firm is anything like Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, those dollars are limited, so you have to spend them wisely. That's why we choose Blue Water Broadcasting. Our marketing analysis has proven consistently that spending advertising dollars with Blue Water Broadcasting has contributed significantly to our bottom line. And for that, Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing is truly grateful. So, if you want to spend your advertising dollars wisely, choose Blue Water Broadcasting and see the difference.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
G
Joey Clark.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. As usual on Mondays, Troy is alongside me. And I hope everybody's enjoying themselves. Is everybody having a good time?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Really good time. Easy go. This is a good song called The Great Pretender. But it's never easy on your own.
Times will change for those. This song puts me on like a desert highway.
I know. Think of a rock star as kind of traveling around the world. To get back home.
Miles Kennedy is so good.
Yeah, good voice. Really good. When the last song fades and you grow old, great pretender, you cannot replace all the love you lost long ago. Once you take I'm thinking Slash wrote that. It's a very introspective song.
Yeah.
Just listened to an interview with Slash on Mark Maron's podcast, his WTF podcast. Really good stuff.
Was that the one where he said that rock isn't mainstream anymore and he kind of likes that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think he has a point. It's not the mainstream thing. If I had to describe pop music today, I don't know where to begin. Because it's a mix of stuff.
Yeah. Thoroughly,
really is.
Thoroughly mixed.
Yeah, like there's definitely hip hop influences, but it's now gone beyond that to more just sampling in general.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we Pro Tools everything and whatever culture or genre can kind of be thrown into that format? That's the point Slash made. He's like, there's country, so-called country songs that now have been mainstreamed, and they sound like everything else on the radio.
Yeah,
and I'm not a huge fan of that crap. I mean, some songs catch my ear, but
yeah,
not a huge fan. But this weekend, got to go see my soon-to-be sister-in-law, my brother's fiance, Caroline, receive her white coat for, what is it, osteopathic medicine? She went through the 2-month intensive down in Dothan and got her white coat. And it was like one of these graduation ceremonies. This was the fun part about it. I said, please hold your full applause till after everybody receives, all 100 and something receive their white coats. But you know, especially when a certain kid gets the white coat and it's like 20 family members there, it was like, is Ric Flair in the audience? Woo! Woo! Hey! Yay! Well, there's this one guy who walked out and they would announce his name. It was like, Saeed so-and-so. Saeed Zayad. And you hear one guy behind us in the back go, oh my God, Saeed's a doctor. Like everybody in our row was like, couldn't hold back. Oh my God, he's a doctor. Saeed.
That's awesome.
But then there was another one where I couldn't contain myself because the guy announcing the names in a very serious voice goes, please come forward, Benjamin Butters. It's kind of this baby-faced white kid.
What an unfortunate name.
Like, Dr. Butters, we got a serious situation on hands. I know you're on call tonight. Then that just made me think of, like, son, you broke the curse. You're going to be a doctor. You broke the Butters curse. Don't you dare give up, son.
Where's Dr. Butters? He slipped out.
Don't you dare quit, son. We Butters don't quit. It's just, oh, wow, what a name.
Benjamin Butters.
Yeah, it was funny seeing how different people reacted. Like, you could tell certain folks were really over the top overjoyed. And, I mean, the most adorable moment was this guy walks across, and he looked a little older, like he was in his 30s. And, you know, he just was getting into medical school. And you heard in out of the silence, not a whoo, not a, oh, sorry, it's a doctor. You didn't hear any of that. You heard this little kid's, a little boy's voice go, yay, daddy. And I looked over, this kid's in like a little kid tuxedo, little kid suit. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the most adorable thing. The mom's got like another baby on in her arm, another one, like, she didn't have an actual leash, but you know the image. Like, she's holding the other kid, and then this, like, had to be 5 or 6. Yay, daddy! And the whole audience, oh, melted hundreds of hearts that afternoon. Yeah, it's always interesting. I wish I had not gone to my graduation at Auburn. It was miserable.
It's super hot that day.
Yeah. Instead of doing it in the arena or, like, doing it in tranches, like one day is going to be A through J or whatever, or these particular colleges.
Yeah, they did the whole shebang.
The whole class, it was hot as hell, salt in the wound. We wore black graduation caps and gowns. Mm-hmm. And what was miserable for me is our keynote speaker was press secretary for Barack Obama, Robert Gibbs. God. I still remember what that a-hole said. And this is just the whole mentality. There's stuff that happens on the right where I'm like, you don't have to say that. That's a little callous. That's a little harsh. There's stuff I can criticize all day long. But there's a pretty consistent point of view on the left where Robert Gibbs said this, and he summed it up perfectly. He's like, now just remember, when a door opens for you, don't turn around and shut it on the next person.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Gibbs. This whole thing is a metaphor.
Right. That's my goal in life, to, like, find success and screw everybody else.
Yeah.
What do you think of me? Or of most people who find success? I don't know many people, even really successful people, who... There might be some people who are more conservative than others. I'm talking about in terms of the risk they take. There might be some people that are more to themselves than other people. Some people are more social. But I don't know too many people who are like, I got mine. Now go away. I don't want to help anybody. I just, that mindset of people are successful because they have this single-mindedness and only care about themselves.
Right.
And it's like, give me a break, Gibbs.
Yeah.
Give me a break. But I was tempted because you had to write your name on the back of some card so the announcer could, you know, get your name correct when you walked out on stage. I was very tempted to not write Joey Clark. I was very tempted to write Turd Ferguson. But I was like, my parents helped pay for this. They're here in the audience. This day's more for them than for me.
Yeah, I was sitting with my girlfriend at the time's parents, and I remember seeing your mom and dad. They were like, hey, who's there with us? I was like, I've got a prior obligation.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm here for Joey, too.
I'm good. Yeah, it's a weird day. And knowing you put it well, I think you told your parents. Like you said, like, didn't your parents ask, is Joey, like, proud or something?
I can't recall. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. You're like, nah, it's just another.
Just another day for old Joey Freeze.
Yeah, that's how I still feel about it. Like, in some ways, I'm like, man, it was a waste of money. It was a waste of money. And I feel like and luckily I didn't end up leaving saddled with debt.
Yeah.
Like, I know people in my own life who have debt because they went to school. And it's just like, what a scam in many ways.
Yeah.
Like, because colleges will play up these opportunities like, hey, you get a degree here, you have a great opportunity to get a job. And in most cases, it's not a great opportunity to get a job. And there are certain fields where, yes, if you go into those particular colleges at the university, you'll do well.
Yeah. If you get an engineering degree from Auburn or a veterinary degree from Auburn, you're getting a good job.
Right.
You're getting a really good job. If you get a pharmaceutical degree from Auburn or a PharmD, good job.
Yeah. Industrial design, second best in the mm-hmm. nation.
Some jobs out of the School of Business, awesome.
Yeah. But political science degree from the College of Liberal Arts at Auburn University? Not really.
Geography?
The degree doesn't mean much. Did you end up with geography? Yeah. You just were like, no. Yeah, it was kind of I was thinking about that the other day going, Yeah, it's, I think I got it right. I was like, yeah, it just seems like a... When I look at young kids, unless they know exactly what they want to do, I'm like, don't waste your time. Find something else. Find something else. Because it will probably suit you. You'll probably make more money and save more money, number one.
Yeah.
And your life will have to be more structured than it would if you went to a university. And, you know, I'm not knocking people that, you know, take their university really seriously. They exist. But I realized once I was in the middle of it, this was the wrong choice. The wrong choice. So, we got another news story. No, it's not Brett Kavanaugh and all these accusers. It's not is Rod Rosenstein, a white hat or a black hat, or I guess that depends on your perspective. I think that guy's really, he's a sphinx. It's like, what is Rosenstein up to? Because the left's like, don't you dare resign. That means somebody else will take over the Russia investigation. And of course, which means don't fire him, Trump. But Trump kind of wants to fire him if what he said is true in the press. Anyway, we're not talking about that.
Yeah. Thursday's going to be the big day.
Oh, yeah.
For everything.
Everything. We get the hearing with Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. We get Rosenstein meeting with Trump himself.
He's just going to walk in and he's going to be like, why did you tell Axios I was resigning? And Trump's going to be like, because I want to fire you, but I can't. And then that's going to be the stalemate.
Pretty much.
And they're going to be like, okay, so you want to get in on this Kavanaugh hearing?
Yeah, they're probably going to watch it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny to me before we get to this last story of the day, the important story I read this morning, is a lot of the vitriol expressed in the press, like, Trump doesn't like Jeff Sessions, and Trump has said stuff, or Trump doesn't like Rosenstein or Mueller. You better believe, even after saying all that crap, those guys could sit down and have dinner. Yeah. I think they would. Like, well, Trump's not going to sit down with Mueller anytime soon. But, yeah, I think there's a lot made of, like, how divided we are. But they're all playing a game, and they know it.
You saw it with Senator McCain's death.
Yeah.
So many people from both sides were like, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Like you could see the mutual respect there. And it wasn't those people on both sides that were like, oh, my God, this is so hypocritical. It was the people with sticky Twitter fingers.
Right.
That were like, but you used to hate this guy. What are you doing? It's like, hold on. You've been whipped into such a frenzy that you can't see past basic human dignity.
I agree. But part of that, I thought Joe Biden did an incredible eulogy at the memorial in Arizona. I thought it was really good. He talked like a man who just lost a son to that disease. And like as somebody who lost his mom to that exact type of cancer, watching Biden, who I've yelled about all the time on the radio, give that heartfelt testimony, that eulogy, was very well done. There were some aspects when McCain died where everybody was hailing him as like the statesman of our time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, God, give me a break. If he's the example of a statesman, we're in a lot of effing trouble.
If your nickname is the Maverick.
Yeah. Give me a break. Anyway. Yeah. Sometimes friendships can go awry. And I hope this doesn't become you and I, you know, 30 years from now. But a man in Indiana was jailed over the weekend after he was accused of reaching for his handgun instead of his Shazam app. Yeah, I don't write this crap.
Yeah, whoever wrote that, they put the period on the end there. I was like,
Justin Mack for USA Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was over a Bruno Mars song. Roger Washburn, 71, is facing a charge of battery after a Friday night incident at his home in Indiana. The investigation began when a man told officials from the Johnson County Sheriff's Office that he and another man were hanging out with Washburn on Friday night. The man told police that they have all been friends for 50 years. The man said they were all talking when an argument broke out over a song and its artist. The man said the song they were debating was sung by Bruno Mars, but Washburn said, no, it's not sang by Bruno Mars. He didn't sing that song. When the man showed Washburn proof that it was indeed a Bruno Mars song, the argument grew more intense. They both stood up and continued to argue until Washburn pulled a gun on him. The man said he responded to the brandished weapon by calling Washburn a chicken...
S?
Yeah. And Washburn swung the weapon at him, striking the man in the face and the arm. The gun went off and... It struck... The gun went off when Washburn struck the man. Didn't shoot at
him.
I know. Don't have your finger on the trigger like that, man.
Trigger discipline is really important.
Then he took a swing at Washburn and missed. The gun went off a second time. No one was shot during the incident. When asked by no one called the police, the man said he and his other friend were shocked over what happened. And they arrested Washburn, took his .38 revolver. But here's the thing, folks, and it's been driving me crazy all day. The police report does not say what Bruno Mars song the men were arguing about. It's like, how? How do you miss that detail, Johnson, whatever, county sheriffs?
Do you want more incidents like this? Because that's how you get more incidents like this.
We need to make it clear.
That it was that particular Bruno Mars song.
Yes. Because maybe there's something about that song sonically that just sends people in a fix.
Somebody's going to read that article. They're going to be hanging out with their buddy, and they're going to be like, you know what song I bet they were talking about?
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens again.
It's a curse.
Yep.
I bet it was Versace on the floor.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know Versace on the floor?
There's quite a few Bruno Mars songs that I
don't
know.
This is off that new song, that new album, that one album of the year last year. Yes. I bet you it was this one.
Is that P from Chromeo?
I don't know, but it's funky. Getting grown and sexy in here. Can you imagine a 70-year-old man hitting another man with this song on in the background?
This song makes me want to make, like, custom soaps. Custom soaps.
Custom soaps?
Yeah. Like, get some borax. I don't know. Music takes me places.
Well, this is going to be a hell of a week.
Yeah, I don't envy your Thursday.